Won't you take your Bible, go with me to Psalm 22, if you would please, Psalm 22. And the first night of the conference, we looked at looking through the eyes of Christ. Last night, we looked at surrounded by dead people. And tonight, we're going to get back to the basics. And our brother sang about it just a moment ago. In Psalm 22, we're going back to the cross of Calvary. That's who it's all about, the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 22, verse number 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The messianic psalm here, you'll find Psalm 22 is the good shepherd. Psalm 23, the great shepherd. Psalm 24, the chief shepherd. And here in Psalm 22, it speaks of the crucifixion of Christ. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. Verse 7, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusteth on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. Verse 12, many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. I'd like you to go with me to verse 6. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. I'd like to take verse 6 as our text tonight. But I am a worm. Job chapter 25 verse number 4 asked an important question. He asked, how then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Then he said, how much less man that is a worm? That word worm that Job used there is the word rima. And the word rima means maggot. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't find anything good about a maggot. Oh, by the way, there's nothing good about me. There's nothing good about you apart from the precious blood of Jesus Christ. None of us are good. None of us are righteous. And Job says, how much less man that is a worm, a maggot, and the son of man, which is a worm. You say, you mean the son of man is a maggot? No, there's another word used here. It's the word toleth. You see, when he's talking about man, he's talking about there's nothing good about us. We're just like a maggot. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We went through that every night. There's none righteous, no, not one. All of our righteousness are as filthy rags. What you and I deserve is death and hell. We're just like a maggot. But you see, when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, He's not like a maggot, but like the toleth worm. And the toleth worm is known as the scarlet worm. And what I'd like to preach tonight a little while is concerning the scarlet worm. Let's pray together. God, would you help us tonight as we look into your word. And Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. And Lord, there could be one within the sound of our voice that doesn't know you as Savior. And Father, if that be the case, I pray tonight would be the night they'd fall under Holy Ghost conviction and they might trust you as their Savior. Father, there might be one within the sound of our voice that has a loved one and that's without God, and may tonight be the night that they would fall under conviction how that they must pray earnestly more than ever before for that one to come to know you as Savior. And Father, I pray, would you hide me behind the cross of Calvary? And Lord, through your word tonight, help us to see the cross. What you did for us some 2,000 plus years ago. In Jesus' name, amen. The toleth worm, the same word that is used in Job chapter 25, verse 6 for toleth, is the same word that is found in Psalm 22, verse 6. In other words, Jesus is saying, but I am the toleth worm. I am the scarlet worm. I am the crimson worm. This small scarlet colored worm is found in Israel. It was used in the Old Testament for making dye. Its color was deep red and it's very valuable. It was used to color the cloth woven into the fine linen of the doorway of the tabernacle. Scarlet was also used in the veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. The very veil that was rent in twain from top to bottom at the time of the crucifixion. This name toleth actually means to hang on a tree. Toleth comes from the root word of rope, meaning to suspend something, such as a caterpillar suspends itself from a branch in the cocoon. The female toleth worm, once in her life, would do something amazing. You see, once in her life, she will have babies at just the right time. She will select a specific tree and she will climb up that tree and attach herself to it willingly. Willingly. You see, that's exactly what Jesus did when he went to Calvary's tree. No one forced him to go there. No one made him go there. He went to that tree willingly for you and for me. I don't know about you, but that excites me to know that the very God in heaven, the God who created the heavens, the God of glory, the God who created glory, the God who stepped out of glory, sent his only begotten Son to give his life for me. And he did the same thing for you. If you were the only one on planet Earth, he still would have come and died for you. They didn't search all over heaven. Heaven did not have a nervous breakdown. They didn't have to take nerve medication when man sinned. Jesus already knew what was going to take place. He was going to come to the cross of Calvary and shed his life's blood for you and I. Oh, by the way, he came and died for maggots just like us. I mean, just a bunch of sinners. Hey, people on their way to hell with no hope without God. Jesus came for you and me. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Jesus never knew sin except for my sin and yours. Oh, by the way, if you could get to heaven by being good, Jesus would have never had to come. But Jesus came because you can't get to heaven on your own. Your goodness can't get you to heaven. Joining the church can't get you to heaven. Being baptized can't get you to heaven. Turning over a new leaf can't get you to heaven. Ye must be born again. And that's done through the blood of Jesus Christ. This little worm goes to the tree, attaches herself to it willingly. She makes a hard crimson shale which cannot be removed from the tree without tearing her body apart. In other words, when she goes there, she's going there for a purpose. And nothing is going to stop that purpose. She knows exactly what's going to happen. Yet she willingly and voluntarily attaches herself, becoming sealed to that tree. John chapter 10 says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. But I want you to notice she doesn't stop there. This little worm, at just the right time, willingly, voluntarily, goes to the tree, climbs up that tree, attaches herself to that tree. She's not going to let anything get in the way. She has sealed herself to that tree. And once she has attached herself to that tree, she will lay her eggs. She deposits them underneath her body. And the eggs are protected by her body. Deuteronomy chapter 33 verse 27 says, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. You see, once these eggs hatch, the scarlet worm dies hanging on that tree. Her body is their protection. She's given birth to her family. And now she gives her life for her children. Well, I want you to notice that upon her death, the scarlet body fluid seeps out of that mother worm and stains every one of those babies. Every one of them, from this day until the day of their death, will be stained by the blood of the one who gave birth. They're covered in this red blood-looking fluid. Matter of fact, it won't wash off. It won't rub off. You can't get it off. No, I'm here to tell you that when she gives her life, everyone that's in her family is covered by the blood. Oh, wow, that sounds a little bit like Jesus, doesn't it? The mother worm is stained with scarlet. Now her babies have become stained. These young worms will remain stained for the remainder of their life. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Well, let's think about it now. This little worm at just the right time. Willingly, voluntarily, goes to a tree. Climbs that tree. Attaches herself to that tree. And she's gone there with the purpose, "I'm going to birth my family." She lays her eggs. She covers them with her body. She protects them with her body. And then she gives her life for her children. That scarlet stain seeps out of that mama and covers every one of her babies in blood red color. And then those babies whose mother has just died begins to receive nourishment and protection from their mother while she is attached to that tree. You see, those babies cannot live unless the mother dies. Because when the mother dies, those children are able to receive nourishment by feeding off the body of that mother worm. Luke chapter 22, verse number 19, the Bible says, "And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" The scarlet worm goes willingly to the tree. The scarlet worm births her children. The scarlet worm dies for her children. The scarlet worm stains all of her children. The scarlet worm nourishes her children. But then I want you to notice, the scarlet worm shows her love for her children. You know, when we were children, we used to sing that little song, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong." You remember that song? Well, can I tell you something? Jesus loves you tonight. Can I tell you something? Jesus loves those prisoners in California tonight. Can I tell you Jesus loves the homeless tonight? Can I tell you that Jesus loves that drug addict tonight? Can I tell you that Jesus loves that drunkard tonight? Jesus loves that prostitute tonight? Can I take it a step further? Jesus loves that one that thinks they're good enough tonight. Jesus loves that church member tonight. Jesus loves that one that grew up in a Christian home and everyone thinks they're a child of God, but in their heart they know they're not. Jesus loves them tonight. Matter of fact, just like that little worm that willingly, voluntarily went to the tree and attached itself to it. It's not coming down. It's there with a purpose. It's going to birth a family. And then the eggs are laid and that mother gives her life hanging on that tree. And the scarlet comes out of that worm and covers every one of those children. And the rest of their days they'll be covered in scarlet. They begin to feed off that mother that gave her life so they could live. But after 3 days, boy, this is where it gets good. After 3 days, now, this, I can't explain it. You can go on the internet and look at it. That's what I did. I don't understand it, preacher, because that little worm's dead. But after 3 days, something amazing happens. After 3 days, that scarlet worm that's give its life on that tree pulls its head and tail together, even after her death, and forms itself in the shape of a heart hanging on that tree. She's no longer red. She's covered every one of her family in red, but she's no longer red. She has formed herself in the shape of her heart and has turned completely white as snow. Hey, only God can take our black sin, wash it in His red blood, and it come out white as snow. And that's what, that's a miracle for that to take place. Hey, it's amazing. I was preaching this at one church, and I was there on a Sunday morning, Sunday night. I preached on Sunday morning, and Sunday afternoon people went home, and on Sunday night they come back and said, I looked that up on the internet. That's true. I said, well, I wasn't going to stand here and preach something that was wrong. At least I'm not going to try to. Hey, it's amazing. It takes a miracle for a dead worm to pull itself into the form of a heart. And now it's completely white as snow. Oh, by the way, it took a miracle for God to save you. It took a miracle for God to save me. It took a miracle to save that drunkard. It took a miracle to save that prostitute. It took a miracle to save that one that's in a gutter. It took a miracle to save that one that's good. Because every time a person gets saved, it takes a miracle. Isaiah chapter 1 verse number 18 says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Aren't you glad? But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world. Boy, I can put my name in there. You can put your name in there. For God so loved Jerry that He gave His only begotten Son. And I can put my name in the whosoever. That if Jerry would trust Him. Oh, hey, if I would just put my faith and trust in Him. Boy, I'm glad it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. Matter of fact, the reason salvation can be so simple, it's because God did all the hard work. Can you imagine giving your son for someone? I've got a son. He's 19 years old. Man, I love him with all my heart. I've got two daughters. I love them with all my heart. I don't want to see anything happen to them. I mean, when they get a cold, I get broken over it. Now, I remember one time my daughter, she was getting in the car and the car door slammed and caught her fingers in the door. They almost had to take me to the hospital. She was all right, but I was a mess. Man, we got to get her some help. We got to do something with her. We got to do this. And my wife's like, would you just calm down? She said, how do you deal with other people? I said, well, I can deal with other people. Well, in his hours, man, I go berserk. God gave His Son Jesus to die for you. What's missions all about? Letting people know that. What about when we go out to the door in the neighborhood and knock on the door? Man, I don't know what to tell them. Tell them what God did for them. How much God loves them. How that God made the way, the only way, that they can get to heaven. Hey, there's only two places, heaven and hell. And I sure am thankful tonight I don't have to worry about going to hell. You know why? I've been stained and covered in that blood. It won't wash off. It won't get off. I mean, it can't be torn off. I can't go to hell. No way, no how. Been told to, but can't. You'll get that in a minute. Somebody used that form of language with me one time. I was knocking on their door to witness to them. They told me that. I said, sir, can't do that. Can't go there. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Well, hey, can I tell you a little more about this worm? Now, I'm talking about that worm that willingly, voluntarily went to the tree, attached herself to it. She's not coming down. She went there for a purpose. She gives birth to her children. She stains all of them in red. She dies on that tree. They begin to feed off of her body for nourishment. Then after 3 days, her body turns into the shape of a heart. The scarlet color goes away and she's now white as snow. And you see, the scarlet worm is known for something interesting. You see, after the toleth worm turns into that position, she becomes just like wax. Matter of fact, you can harvest that worm now. And many do in Israel and use them to make shellac, which is a protective, it is a preservative, and many times they use that on their olive wood carvings. May I say to you, the resurrection of Christ was not only the proof, but it was the preservative of the message that Jesus died on the cross for all of our sin and for the multitudes of lost sinners for all generations. Without the resurrection, the cross would have been meaningless, because the resurrection was God's stamp of approval. It's preserved. It's preserved. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption." When I was growing up, my mom used to make preserves. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you probably still do that. Now, I don't know how they do it the newfangled way, but the way my mom did it, she would put them in jars, and she would put the jars in the water and all that type of stuff. But then she would set them on the counter, and do you know what we were waiting to hear? The pop. And I can remember mom, she would hear that little... And she said, "All right, that one's preserved." Well, can I tell you something? When I was 7 years old, there was a pop. Amen. And I've been preserved ever since. Amen. Hey, I mean, I'm saved to the uttermost. Amen. And oh, by the way, that's the only way you can get saved. It's to the uttermost. The scarlet worm is noted for her sweet fragrance. However, in order for her to have a sweet fragrance, she had to be crushed. Once this worm is crushed, the sweet fragrance fills the room. And not only is it a sweet smell, But for the first time, it can be used as medicine to heal. Isaiah 53:5 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." The cross was the embodiment and the emblem of the most hideous of all human obscenities. It was a symbol of reproach, humiliation, degradation, and disgust. Crucifixion was designed to do more than kill a man. Its purpose was to humiliate him in the process. The cross was intended not only to break a man's body, but to crush his spirit. Crucifixion was always public, in a prominent place and on a high ground. And usually the one being crucified was without clothing. But Jewish sensitives demanded that Jews that were crucified be clothed wearing a loincloth. Crucifixion was referred to as that most cruel and disgusting penalty. But Jesus did that for you. He did that for you. He did it for me. He did it for those in Africa and Ethiopia. He did it for those that were all around the world. He did it for all generations. He gave his life for all. I'd like you to take your Bible. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18. The Bible says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." May I say to you tonight, what is missions? Missions is getting back to the basics and sharing the gospel with someone in need. Just like that little worm, if I don't fall off the platform, just like that little worm willingly, voluntarily went to that tree. Hey, she knew what was going to happen, just like Jesus did. But she knew the only way her family could be birthed was she was going to have to go to that tree. She went to that tree and attached herself to it. And that's where she laid her eggs and covered every one of them in the scarlet stain. And she died hanging on that tree. Her body protected her children. They began to nourish by feeding off of her. Then, realizing that, man, you see, those children couldn't live if she didn't die. And we couldn't live if Jesus didn't die. Then after 3 days, in a miracle fashion, her body turns into the form of a heart. And all the red is gone, and now she's white as snow. Her body becomes a wax, a preservative. And when that body is crushed, it becomes a sweet-smelling savor. Also, an amazing medicine. That's the message we've got to get to the world. I went to Peru. I've had the privilege to go to several foreign countries. But I was in Peru and mentioned the other night about being in Lima, but we went to an area that had no church just to give them that message I just gave you. And then as we went there, I mean, we're out in the backwoods, man. I mean, they took us to a little house, and it wasn't a church building, it was somebody's house. And if you went inside, you could look and see the outside. The walls just had big gaps in them. And the house belonged to these two women. We went in, and people came and filled that house up, and people were standing outside listening. I began to preach, and several of them trusted Christ as Savior. Man, that was exciting to me. And I was like, all right, praise the Lord, we're done. And they were like, no, we're not done. We need to get these people out so the others can come in. I'm like, are you serious? So those people went out, and another group came in and filled the house. People standing outside trying to look in. There's another preacher with me on this trip, and so while I rested, he preached, and several trusted Christ, and God moved, and we were like, praise the Lord, this is great. Those two little women said, all right, now y'all need to go out. We got another group got to come in. And we did this all day. And he and I rotated hour after hour preaching the gospel to these people. The evening came. It's time for us to close down. We'd had several trust Christ. It was a wonderful, wonderful day. And these ladies came over and handed me a bottle. It was a Coca-Cola. Handed him a bottle. It was a Coca-Cola. There was a missionary with us, and we began to drink that Coca-Cola. And he said, I want to tell you something about that Coca-Cola. He said, those ladies worked all week to be able to buy that Coca-Cola for you so that you could preach today. I said, man, I can't drink this. I felt like David when they brought the water in from Bethlehem. I said, I can't drink this. You mean they worked all week? He said, you better drink it. He said, preacher, they gave their all so that the gospel could be preached today. Here's the thing. If those ladies can give their all in a foreign country so that the gospel could be preached, what's our excuse? What's our excuse? Oh, well, wait a minute, preacher. You don't understand. I just can't afford it right now. We can't afford not to. We can't afford not to. Hey, what is it that God wants you? Hey, you might be here tonight and God's dealing with you. You're the one he died for. You're the one. Hey, you've been fooling everybody and might even be fooling your own self. But you haven't fooled God. Can I show you one more thing and we'll be done? I want you to take your Bible. Go with me to one other scripture. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. I had something amazing happen. I've not preached this message many times, but when I preached it, I preached this in West Virginia. And something amazing happened, and I'm going to share this passage with you. Mark chapter 9, this is Jesus speaking, and he's also speaking about a worm. In Mark chapter 9, verse 43, Jesus said, "If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched." I began to read that passage of scripture in the church in West Virginia, and there was a man sitting right over here, and each time I read that, when I would make the statement, "where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched," the first time I said it, he said, "Oh, me!" He said it out loud, just like that. I continued reading, and I read the second part that said the same, and he said, "Oh, my!" He said it out loud. I read the third part, and he said, "Oh, me!" And I immediately closed and opened an invitation, and that man came running down the aisle and met the preacher right here, bawling his eyes out, and he said, "I need to be saved." You see, here's the thing. The scarlet worm went to the cross of Calvary. He did everything imaginable for you. And that is for all eternity. But if you reject it, there's another worm you're going to have to deal with. And it's going to last for all eternity. Every time. Hey, I'm talking about every time somebody ever gave you a gospel tract, you're going to remember it. Every time somebody ever preached a message, you're going to remember it. Every time somebody ever talked to you soul winning, you're going to remember it. Every time somebody ever called you, every time somebody knocked on your door, every time you had an opportunity to trust Christ and you rejected, you're going to remember that throughout all eternity in a place that's called hell. Isn't it worth it to get the gospel out? Isn't it worth it to give our all that we might reach those that do not know? And isn't it worth it to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior?